Welcome to Look to the Moon podcast, bringing together two friends with stories that need sharing. Join us, Jodie and Nicole, as we navigate life after loss, discussing topics around birth, trauma, and baby loss, and providing a safe space for others to share their stories. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 10 of Look to the Moon podcast. So we've got another guest interview for you today. So you don't just have to listen to me and Jodie wittering on.
No, lucky for you.
Yeah, so we've already recorded an interview with the lovely Robin. So Robin is going to share her story and experience of losing her beautiful daughter Freya. So we just wanted to give you a bit of a disclaimer and warning that Robin's story does talk about stillbirth of a daughter Freya. So just in case anyone doesn't wish to listen to this episode or is still struggling from their own experience, and yeah, just a little heads up that it's a very triggering,
covers difficult topics, doesn't it?
Triggering episode. So Robin's actually only within the first 6 months of her loss of Freya, so it's all very raw and fresh still. And she's still actually ongoing quite a lot of investigations, and she actually discloses, doesn't she, in her interview, that she has her first debrief with the hospital between Christmas.
Between Christmas and New Year. I think.
So yeah, it's a very difficult time of the year, as I don't know when you'll be listening to this, but we're only 3 days away from Christmas as we're recording this. So yeah, it's a triggering time of the year for anyone that's gone through loss or trauma anyway. But yeah, we do talk about that in the podcast as well. So
it was I always say it was, you know, an enjoyable — I hate the word enjoyable, what we say it all the time — but we as a couple, as in a couple of friends, obviously, kinky. New news on the podcast.
Yeah, new news, me and Jodie.
A couple of friends who obviously get a lot of benefit from talking to each other, and, you know, that's our outlet. We enjoy, it is enjoy, we find comfort in speaking.
We get comfort from speaking to other families.
Yeah, and we hope that, you know, people find comfort in listening to other people's stories and
sharing stories and emotions and feelings.
Yeah, and it validates a lot of feelings, doesn't it? And I think especially with Robin's story and your story, there's a lot of — although the gestation was different, there's a lot of
similarities
and things that do sort of cross over.
Sharing the same emotions
and it was things that Robin was saying that I thought, you've said that thing, you've said that to me, and you've said that to me in the past, and I think I saw it, like you say, a lot of comparison and similarities between your two stories, even though
they're worlds apart.
They are, and I think everybody's story — we've mentioned this several times — that, you know, nobody's story, whether it's birth trauma, baby loss, miscarriage,
they'll never two be the same,
fertility, whatever it is, they're always different, but a lot of the emotions remain the same. So we hope that you do enjoy listening to Robin's story, but also, you know, like Nicole said, you know, there is a little bit of a trigger warning with this episode, as there, I suppose, there always is most episodes that we speak about, that there's a lot of difficult subjects that, you know, are discussed and shared, and should be listened to with caution.
Yeah.
Because it's quite a difficult listen.
Yeah.
But we're hopefully going to catch up with Robin in the new year.
In the new year, after
and see how she how she's getting on.
See how she's doing.
But thank you for listening. And we will catch you on the next episode.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. And here's Robin's interview.
Hi, Robin. Thank you so much for joining us. You're joining us for our 10th episode, which is quite exciting that we've actually come this far. And, you know, we've got people.
Going.
Yeah, people like yourself that are wanting to share their stories. So we've done a bit of a briefing, which we always do. So firstly, thank you for taking the time to speak to us and to share your story. So why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and your pregnancy and then basically telling the story from the beginning, and we'll start from there.
Yeah, of course. So Freya was our first baby. We'd been together 7 years when we decided, we didn't really decide, it was just kind of, well, let's just see how it goes.
Yeah.
And our kind of thing. To our surprise, we got pregnant with the first month.
Wow, nice and quick.
Nice and quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're victims of that, yeah, as well. You know, in a sense, we've been lucky,
yeah,
from a conception,
yeah,
perspective.
Yeah,
that
definitely.
We
haven't gone through any of,
yes,
the struggles of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, my pregnancy was normal, healthy. I had a bit of sickness at the beginning. All her appointments were fine. Her scans were fine. I had one extra growth scan just because she dropped on the chart a little bit at the midwife appointment. But at that scan, she was where she should be for that gestation. I'd started maternity leave at 36 weeks. First 2 weeks were great. I had my baby shower. We were just getting the house ready. And then on the Thursday, when I was 38 weeks and 2 days, I'd woke up and found I wasn't feeling Freya move. Got in the bath as normal. Obviously, I was off work, so just in my normal morning routine. She was always dead regularly in the bath. She was in the bath the night before. She was normal the night before. I had a normal routine all day. And then I just noticed that she wasn't moving like she should be. So I messaged my partner and I said, look, I'm just going to ring the hospital just to get her some reassurance, just so that we know she's okay. Obviously, you expect to go in and they check you over and you're home that night. But we were told that Freya's heart had stopped. Our little girl no longer had a heartbeat. So, yeah. Not
It's
what
not
you
what you
expect,
expect.
or
No, I was just gonna
no.
say that's like the we've never experienced those words ourselves, so that
No.
can't comprehend what that must feel like. Like you say, it's you've been through all your scans
Yeah.
previously and she was healthy and fine, wasn't she,
Well,
up until
I had a midwife appointment just over a week before, and her heart rate was absolutely perfect. She was measuring fine. So
And
you
how
just
did they check that heart rate? Did they just check that with a Doppler, or did
It
they
was
give you
at the
a Doppler?
midwife appointment. Yeah, just with the Doppler.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have an ultrasound scan when you went into hospital then, where they told you
Yeah,
Freya's heart?
so they tried to find it with the Doppler, and then obviously they couldn't find anything. So obviously we just went into, I can't even remember what we were feeling at that moment, if I'm totally honest with you. And it felt like it was hours on end waiting for them to bring that ultrasound machine in. But it was probably only about 5 minutes the whole time. And I think before the doctor even said it, I think we knew.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you hear the words, it's just, I think I just went numb. I couldn't even react to the whole thing. And I just remember lying there, and I just couldn't even speak or look at anyone. Or I think the first thing I said was, just get my mum. And then I don't really remember much. We'd got taken to the bereavement suite, and I think I'd gone into that much of shock that I'd forgot Freya was still in my tummy, and the whole "I still have to give birth" hadn't hit me at that point until about, I was probably sat there about an hour later, and it just popped into my head, and that was it then. That was when all the emotions started coming out, and it was just a whole mess, basically.
Gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it the thought of having to go through the whole labour and not having a baby to bring home at the end
Yeah.
that found the
Yeah.
difficult part? Yeah.
Yeah.
Was this your, it was your first pregnancy, you said, actually,
Yeah,
wasn't
right, it
it?
was our first.
Yeah, okay. So what was the next steps? What was the
So we
treatment?
went through all the options. Obviously, we talked about a C-section and getting induced. They don't recommend a C-section if there's no reason to. They talked about the scar being a permanent reminder. In my opinion, I don't think you need the scar to be reminded constantly.
No.
I don't think you
I was
need
just about to
that.
say, because the process, surely the process of giving birth
Would be
would
more
be more traumatic or
triggering.
triggering than going through a C-section. And they're saying that there's no reason for a C-section, but
Surely that in
surely,
itself's a reason for it.
yeah, for the
Yeah, I
person,
would think
trauma is a
so.
reason,
Yeah.
surely.
Yeah.
Did you feel
So this.
pressured into having a natural birth then?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there was, don't get me wrong, the midwives at that, in that bereavement suite and that after we'd had Freya was amazing, but there was a midwife and a doctor in the room with us, and none of them would even acknowledge the conversation of me having a C-section. It
That's
was,
insane.
I
To
know,
me, I'm sorry. I know that's
it felt very much out of my hands, and I
yeah.
couldn't make that decision for myself, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
Aren't you persuaded to do
yeah, and then obviously your mind's not in the right place as it is. You're not in the right state of mind to be arguing with someone
course.
about stuff like that.
And that's going to be very difficult to advocate for yourself
In
in
that
that situation because
yeah.
you're not processing those emotions. You're processing the news that you've just been
Yeah.
given about Freya, and they should be there to make the process as easy as they can for you, given everything else that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
So that's really, I'm quite
I'm shocked at
shocked.
that, yeah.
I'm really shocked because, you can opt for a C-section in
Yeah.
your birth plan. There
Yeah.
doesn't have, yes, they can advise from a medical perspective that you don't necessarily need one, but you can always opt for a
Yeah.
C-section.
Yeah.
That's a personal choice.
Yeah. No, so they gave me the first tablet that night. It just stops your hormones, and we got sent home. That as well, I wish that didn't happen. I wish we just stayed, because coming
They
home to,
stayed in your home.
yeah, so
I wouldn't
come, so we had to come home to a house that was ready for Freya.
Yeah.
I remember sit, like, I sat in the car outside. I said I could not go in that house until everything's moved.
Yeah.
So my mum and my partner, bless them, came in and they moved everything down to body wash for her in the bathroom and all sorts. Everything was just moved into her bedroom. That door's still closed now, but
Yeah.
so yeah, we got sent home, and then we had to go back at 12 o'clock the next day, and I was induced at 2 o'clock.
Okay. How long was your labour? How long?
So I was induced at 2 o'clock. And Freya was born at 20 to 1 in the morning the next day.
God.
Active labour was very quick. It's quite hard, really, because when I look back at my labour, I probably had the perfect induction and the perfect labour, but just didn't get the baby at the end of it. Like, I, not that having an epidural or anything like that, that's a bad idea, a bad thing or anything like that, but I got
Yeah.
that. I went from that, I think I was 2 centimeters, then I went to 10 centimeters within 20 minutes, so I didn't have time for any of that. So I gave birth with just gas and air, and it was probably the best birth I could have asked for.
Yeah,
Yeah,
just not the
it
end
was
result.
just not the end result that you obviously want.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, did you find that the midwives and the doctors were very supportive during your labour
Yeah,
and Freya?
yeah,
And
yeah,
was your partner
definitely.
with you at the time?
Yeah, so I had my partner with me and my mum there the whole time.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Sounds like you had a good support system,
Yeah.
which
Yeah.
you will have needed during that stage.
Yeah.
What, if you want to go into this detail, what was the process after you gave birth, and was, because I know that we've done an interview with another lady, your
Yeah.
experience, it seems that everybody's experience when there's a loss of of a baby,
It's different.
everybody's experience is different, and the
Yeah. Yeah. And
process at
everyone's
diff
preference is different
yeah
as
everyone's
well.
preference is different. Even the way the trust works is in the hospital that you're at has different procedures. So what happened post birth? What was the hospital sort of procedure, but also what was your preference, and then what
Yeah,
actually happened?
so obviously before I was induced, I talked about whether I wanted her straight afterwards. And I said, yeah, I still wanted to do skin to skin and still wanted my partner to cut the cord and all of that. So we were able to do all of that. And then the midwives took her and weighed her. And then we spent 2 days in the bereavement room with her. She was obviously in a cold cart. We could have had people coming in and out to meet her, but Selfishly, we just wanted that time on our own. I wouldn't even call it selfish, to be honest.
Not
It was
selfish.
it
Absolutely
was
not.
just that it was just that time for us, and so we just spent the 2 days in
Actually
there
too
cuddling.
precious to share. Too precious. Yeah.
We just spent 2 days in there as a family, and we just cuddled her as much as we could and took
Yeah.
pictures, and we were able to do a hand and footprints and the clay and stuff. And but it's like I speak to other parents, and the difference between, like you were saying, is massive that people get, and the
Because
people.
you didn't have a cuddle cot with
No.
Luna.
So I was never, I mean, my
Was it
daughter,
available or was it
I
never
was never
offered?
offered, so I don't know.
Okay.
Luna was born extremely premature, so at 23 weeks, but she was born alive,
Yeah.
and she sadly died at 8 days old. But I was the same to you, I wanted to spend that time with her.
Yeah.
Slightly different, my partner didn't, but I did, so I stayed. But yeah, the cold cot was never offered. They offered me to stay overnight, but they never said that a cold cot was an option, and I was worried about the changes that the body would go
Yeah.
through. But I chose to leave. Yeah, I totally get that. Since I've obviously spoken to different ladies like yourself, I've heard about the cold cots, and obviously it's as awful as it is, they help preserve the body, don't they?
Yeah.
So you can
So you
have that
have that
time.
time, yeah.
It is mad how hospitals are so different. And we did get all the memories like yourself. So we did the hand and footprints and like
Yeah.
paint and clay, and then we actually had castings made of a hand and feet afterwards. They did that, like the dentist practice did that or something, I don't know. We had that. But yeah, the memory making and the process afterwards seems to be massively different from trust to trust.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, it's a shame really, because I think everyone should be given the
It's the
chance and the
option.
option
Given
to the option, yeah.
everything that they could possibly do. Yeah. It
But
shouldn't be
yeah,
like
it's
a parent should be deprived of anything
yeah.
if it's available, and equally, people shouldn't be obligated to do it if they don't feel
Yeah.
like they should
Yeah.
want to do it. There should be everything there if
And
you
you
want it or
use,
you don't,
yeah.
and you
I know
choose what's best for you.
a lot of the memory making, I don't know what area you're from, sorry, Robin, but I know a lot of the memory making packages or boxes or whatever are from a charity. So a lot of them are charity based, have been set up by bereaved parents
Yeah.
themselves. So I know we have like a. We had, sorry, a memory box given to us prior to Luna's death, but knowing that that was probably going to be the outcome, so we could start making memories and then like put little things in it as well.
But that was quite hard at the time, that they delivered that box and
Well,
you were
yeah,
like,
they didn't tell
it's,
me that she was like
you know,
the bereavement midwife
well,
just came and was like, "Hi, I'm the bereavement midwife," and
and
I
you're
was
like,
like,
my
"What?
daughter's still
Why are
alive.
you here?"
Don't
Yeah.
mind
telling me that. But then obviously afterwards, I mean, I don't know about yourself, but we haven't. You said you've not even opened your daughter's room, so we haven't actually gone through those memories yet. And we're what are we? We're last March that
Two years in
yeah, nearly 2 years, and we haven't gone through those. But it's knowing that you do have them, so
knowing
when you
that they're
are
there,
ready,
ready. We
you
don't
have.
really go through Freya's box either.
But it's, I
No.
think it's comforting that when you are ready, if anyone's ever ready,
Ready.
that they're there and you had the chance and the opportunity to make those memories.
Yeah.
Because I think there will be, especially me, my partner Richard's a lot different to me, but
Yeah.
the memories are massively important to keep her memory alive, and not that you would ever forget any of your children that were
But it's a
born.
physical
But it's a
reminder.
physical, when you haven't got your baby to hold or to be in your life, those memories and reminders are massive. So yeah.
And I think the regret, if you like you say, even if you were never ready, but knowing that if you ever are, they're there,
Yeah.
if you didn't have
Didn't have
them.
them.
Yeah. And like you say, everyone deals with grief and loss differently. And
Yeah.
you and Richard, you and
Oh,
your
we're
partner,
massively different. Yeah.
that, you know, you both coped in completely different ways, and you were both accepting that you were
Yeah.
going to cope in different
Different
ways,
ways,
which
yeah.
allowed you to sort of support each other,
Yeah.
because, you know, Richard was like, I can't do that, but I know you need to. And it was
Yeah.
the same in reverse. I know that you don't want to do that, but I
I need
do. So
to,
we
yeah.
accept each other grieving process.
Yeah,
And
definitely.
but I just, like say,
talking to other ladies like yourself, Robin, and like Claire that we've spoken to, you're like the fact that you weren't offered that service is quite shocking because it seems like it's more common than not, just from everyone that we've spoken to. Because is there a, forgive me in my ignorance, because I don't know, is there a set amount of time that you're allowed that cuddle cot, that cold cot?
I don't know.
Or is it an indefinite thing, or is it up to you to decide when you stop that process?
So we're given, I'd say, the 2 days. They did say you could stay another night, but we do have to have rooms available for other parents just in case it's needed.
Okay,
So
right.
it was
pushing you out anyway.
without doing so, yeah.
Yeah, and that it actually
I
must be
think
really hard that, yeah.
personally, like you said about Luna, you found it hard with the changes. I think we were at that point anyway.
Okay, yeah.
We were finding it difficult, and with the even with the cold cart, her skin was changing and her skin was blistering, and that was really hard to see. But then saying that again, we still visited her in the at the funeral home every day.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow.
So when we left the hospital, we'd said to each other, look, I don't want to remember in that way, but then we still went back every day. So it was like, what are we doing? But we couldn't stop.
No, yeah. Suppose it's because it's not natural, like you were meant to bring your daughter home with you. So not having that, I'm sure it felt it's the right thing to do to go and see for a day because that's what you should be doing.
Were you given that option?
We were, yeah, but we chose not to.
Right, okay.
So yeah, Luna did go to a funeral home in our area, and yeah, there was an option to go and view her,
Go.
but yeah, we chose not to for the same reasons as you've just said, Robin, is we wanted to remember it as that little baby without those changes.
So Freya went on the Monday, and we went every day up until the Friday, but she very much deteriorated by that point, and we both just said that day, like, we just can't do it anymore. So we did get to that point, and that was it. Then we didn't see her then after that.
And when was a funeral? Was it still quite a way away, or was it done quite?
No, so we decided against a post-mortem, so everything was quite quick afterwards. So Freya went to the funeral home on the Monday, and then her funeral was the following, I want to say Wednesday,
Okay, so
Tuesday or
yeah, so quite
Wednesday.
quick, isn't it, considering?
But I suppose what you've just said there was it was going to be one of my next questions is, has anyone given you any explanation to why what happened to Freya, why that happened? And you said about like a post-mortem, and is that on advice that they might not find anything, or it would prolong sort of the funeral, and you wanted to
So
get that
the
process?
post-mortem was just personal to us. We just didn't want to mess with, basically. We just wanted it to be left alone. But they did send my placenta off and the cord. We're still waiting for them. We actually have our debrief coming up. That's took
A long
just
time.
over 5 months.
Well, Freya was born, what,
No,
six
6 months.
months ago?
6 months
6 months
ago.
ago,
Well, over
yeah.
6 months now. Lose track of time. Over 6 months. And yeah, there's been a bit of a fight to get them. I won't go into too much detail because it's been a bit of a mess. But
Can imagine.
yeah, we finally got a phone call last week, and they said, obviously, with Christmas, do you want to do it on this date? But I was just at the point where I was like, well, if I don't say yeah, I don't know when I'm going to get another one. So it was just a case of, yeah, we'll just do it.
Take it,
So that's coming up.
So, sorry, did you say that there was something with the cord, your
No,
placenta?
they sent the cord off,
Oh, I see.
but
So they sent
that's gone for
the cord
testing, yeah.
and oh, I do apologize.
Yeah.
So
No, it's
you're
okay.
gonna have the results when you have your
Yeah.
debrief. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How are you feeling about the debrief and maybe finding out a potential reasoning behind Freya's heart stopping?
I think, I don't know if I'm totally honest with you. I think either way, there's different kind of emotions. I think I don't want there to have been something wrong with her, and But then I also don't think that I could live without a reason for her just dying, kind of thing. That I remember one of the doctors in the hospital turned around to me and said, sometimes it's just bad luck. And I don't think that's something that I could live with, that my daughter just died from bad luck, kind of thing.
We have
We've
literally
literally just
just
talked
had this
about this.
conversation
Yeah.
on our
Really?
previous
Previous
episode
episode before
because
yours,
you've just had a debrief at our local hospital, and you know, someone has said the words to you like, it's just one of those things, and me and Nicole are
I'm
both
like,
of the
no, it's
mindset
not.
that there's always a reason, whether
Reason.
they know what the reason is or not. There's always a reason, whether they're advanced medically enough to know at this point. They might not be, and you might not get the answer, and that doesn't help, you know, people in, you know, your sort of situations, but there's always a reason, and
Bad luck does
is
not come
not,
into a
no,
baby.
no,
No, absolutely not.
absolutely not,
And
absolutely not.
it's like
I've
just. It's like an excuse just to get over it. That's because it sounds
And it
so
makes it easier for
casual.
them.
Yeah, like, oh, it's just bad luck. It's one of those things. It's, you know, sometimes these things happen, that it's like
So
you're
cop
making
out.
light of the most traumatic situation that anyone could ever go through, and the biggest loss that anyone can ever go through. And it's far too casual of a comment to make to a grieving parent. It's not good enough. It
No.
really isn't. No.
No. I remember that comment sticking in my head for months and months and months, and I still think about it now sometimes, and
It's because it's
really,
outrageous and they should know better. And, you know, people that should have the highest level of compassion in their job, and they should, they, and they, unfortunately for them, they will have seen these circumstances before. You know, they will have dealt with grieving parents before, and that is extremely hard. But they should also understand, because they've seen this type of grief before, how to
How to
help
address.
and support and say the right things. And sometimes you're like, if you've got nothing productive to say, just don't say anything at all.
I think that's not giving them an excuse at all because that is just totally unacceptable. But to them, they will see it as it's a, I mean, I don't know. Well, we do know that baby loss is unfortunately a lot more common than people think. But whether it be a daily or a weekly or a monthly occurrence, they have to break that bad news. It to them, it's a
It's their
multiple
day job,
occurrence.
yeah.
That's what
It's
they do.
they're
Like,
desensitized in a
yeah, they
way, I
do. And they
suppose.
need to. This is your first baby, your very much loved and wanted daughter. For someone to say, "Oh, bad luck that." I think I would have punched him or her, whoever it was.
Yes, I remember the
I
surgeon.
know my partner would have crikey.
I remember the surgeon. So I don't know whether you know my story. So I had a really, really long labour. I had a 3-day labour with my daughter, and she basically we went ended up in an emergency C-section, but she couldn't be removed from me during my C-section, and she was born not breathing, and she ended up with an element of brain damage, and she was in intensive care for a long time. And it has been determined that it's pretty much all human error. Like, they should have expedited my birth so she didn't end up getting stuck. But then the surgeon that was in charge of my C-section just wasn't able to get remove her. They had to call in a consultant to physically remove her out of my body. And I remember that the woman that came to see me, who was in charge of my C-section, who couldn't remove her, all she came to say to me was, I tried my best. And that's what she said. I was lay there alone. I didn't know whether my
You didn't
daughter,
even know if Bonnie was born,
I didn't even
alive,
know
did
if she
you?
was alive at this point. My husband was off with her. I was completely alone. She just came to me and went, I tried my best. And I thought, if I was watching that situation play out, and that wasn't me that she was speaking to, I would have said, well, your best isn't good enough, because the surgeon that actually removed her from my body did so in 90 seconds, and you were trying for 40 minutes, and
To the point that she'd stop
to the
breathing.
point that she'd stopped breathing, she sustained brain damage and injuries, and your best wasn't good enough. So how is that supposed to help me and my baby that I don't know whether is alive or dead? I don't know whether she's,
Yeah.
alive but completely brain damaged. I just didn't know what was going on, and I thought, get away from me.
Yeah.
I just don't speak
Yeah.
to her. I just, because
Yeah.
nothing you can say to me is going to make me feel any better. And I just thought it was really inappropriate. And I
Yeah.
think.
I think that's one of the massive learning points from the podcast and everybody's stories put together.
Yeah.
It is hopeful that it gets to the people, the doctors, and to the medical professions that, that is the right and wrong thing to say,
Yeah.
and they need to learn from it massively. I don't know if your hospitals have that you were at, Robin, if they have any learning from Freya's death, but I don't know if you've seen either, Jodie, but our local hospital is currently doing like learning. I've
Yeah.
actually I
Well,
was like right on there, like, yeah, I can give you
yeah.
lots to learn from. Like, you do
Well,
not speak to someone like this, you do
yeah.
do that.
And they've said, like, in our case, because our baby ended up with like a moderate HIE, which is, I can't even remember the long name for it,
Oh,
but it's
it's
an
too
element of,
long ago for me
it's an
to
element
remember
of brain
medical
damage. So,
stuff.
like, yeah, like asphyxiation, basically, so lack of oxygen, hypoxic something.
Ischemia, I don't
I
know,
don't know.
something like
And I
that.
should know it, but it is so hard to pronounce. But because she had that like the moderate, so it wasn't like the mild, or it wasn't the severe, she was level two basically, that was automatically investigated at that
Yeah.
hospital. So because of that, they've actually done so what happened to us is actually called like impacted head. I don't know whether it's syndrome. We've had this conversation. I always feel like I need to add syndrome onto the end of that, but it's actually really super rare. And they've actually ordered like a dummy
Yeah,
to
to
do that,
learn
to
from.
learn that procedure. And at the time we've said this, we're like, the fact that our child has been now the source of a learning doesn't make us feel any better, to be fair.
Yeah.
But then you think, well, no, but if it presents it to happen to somebody else,
Yeah.
yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But just going back to saying the right and wrong thing, the surgeon that actually delivered my daughter, so pretty much the one person
Saved a life.
that saved a life, because without him, she wouldn't be here. He came to me. And he was the only person in the entire process, because there was a breakdown in my care from the minute I walked through the hospital to leaving that hospital. He was the only person who actually did everything right, but came in and said, I'm really sorry this has all happened to
Like,
you.
we fucked up.
Yeah. And he was so genuine. And I'm like, this is why he's the person that's at the top of his game,
Yeah.
because although he's done everything right and he's saved a life today, and probably two lives, including mine, he's come
He's
in and
picking up the
he's,
pieces, isn't
yeah,
he?
and he's come in and he's acknowledged that it didn't go right and he apologised. They were the first words out of his mouth, and he had nothing to apologise for. And I'm just thinking that just shows you the massive difference between
Yeah.
medical
Yeah,
professionals.
and compassion.
Yeah, and
And good bedside manner. Not
good
good bedside
bedside
manner.
manner. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's been, with the debriefs, he was the person that was doing my debriefs, and he sat there and he listened for hours as I spoke about how everything had made us feel, the impact on my daughter, everything. And he
Yeah.
just took it. And he was the one person that shouldn't have had to take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we digress,
Yeah.
and we need
Yeah.
to go back to
So
your
back to
story.
you, Robin.
Back
No,
to
you're
your
fine.
story.
I was what was I going to ask you then? Oh God, I've had a
A
my
brain
oh
fart.
yeah.
Yeah, well, we were talking about, so you went to visit Freya
Yeah.
and in the funeral home,
In
and
the
then
funeral, yeah.
you and your partner decided that you'd got to a point where
Yeah.
you decided that that was enough, and you were getting ready for the funeral, I
Yeah,
suppose. And
yeah.
I know from your perspective, you it was just you and your partner there,
Yeah, so
and that
we,
was what you'd
yeah.
chosen.
We chose a very, because to us, it wasn't a celebration of life like most funerals are, well,
Wow.
are. Yeah, so we wanted to keep it very low key and didn't want anybody there. Like you, she was very precious. She was ours. Nobody met her in hospital. They'd only seen pictures, and that's how we kept it
Yeah.
at a funeral. How did you, what did you do? or choose to date one?
We got to the point where we just put it on social media because
Yeah.
people was messaging
Asking.
us and
Yeah.
asking, and I did want just family at the time. Not that it's a bad thing. My partner wanted his friends there, and he wanted the support, and he knew how loved Freya was, and he just wanted that to be seen, I think.
Yeah.
But I was just at the point where I couldn't speak to anyone. Like, I cannot send each person individually our daughter's funeral arrangements. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
So it got to the point where we just put a post on, and that was it. And whoever turned up, turned up.
Yeah.
It was actually a lot of people, to the point where there was people standing at the back. I didn't actually know this until a few days later because I completely zoned out.
Yeah, of course.
I still don't remember pretty much anything about the day. I remember getting in the funeral car, and then I remember leaving the service, and that was it. I don't remember anything in between. So yeah, she did have quite a lot of people there. But if I'm honest, I don't think I would have remembered who.
Yeah. I
Maybe
don't think
we
that's your
had.
top priority
No.
to remember who's there. And
Yeah.
I suppose you can try and take comfort in the fact
Comfort that
that
she was
she was
very
so
loved.
loved, that, all those people wanted to be there for you and for your partner and for her. How did you find your bereavement care from the hospital then after, that, because this is it, we're only like a week into your bereavement here, a week and a few days with your funeral. How was your bereavement care from your hospital?
So I didn't really hear much from the hospital, if I'm being totally honest with you.
Fine.
I don't know whether, so my, she won't mind me saying this, so my midwife that I had throughout my whole pregnancy was Freya, came to see me the day after we got home from the hospital, and it turned out she'd lost a baby
Oh.
5 years ago. So she was very much there from the beginning, and I don't know whether the hospital kind of knew that.
Yeah.
But I never heard anything from them. The only conversations I've had with the hospital has been in regards to Freya's results.
Right.
So you've not had a bereavement midwife appointed to you?
I had one assigned to me.
Yeah. You've not heard from her?
Not
No.
really had much contact apart from Freya's results.
Oh wow.
But I
And it
don't.
would be your job to have to like chase
Chase,
that.
no,
That's their
that's their
literally
job.
their
That's the,
job.
their
It's
only job role as a
not like
bereavement
like I
midwife.
say a midwife that is just is
Yeah.
standard throughout. Okay, they're a bereavement midwife, that's their
Their
job to
duty to
support,
support you.
grieving families and grieving
Crazy.
mothers.
So how have you coped? Because sitting here, this is the first time we've obviously met you. Is it? Can we say met you? Yeah, we've seen you.
Yeah, virtually.
Very fresh, we're only six months
Just
past,
over 6 months, isn't it?
your bereavement, and I must say, you seem to be doing remarkably.
Keeping it
You're
all
a very
together.
brave lady. Whether
Thank you.
we obviously are only seeing a very small snippet of you, and your life, and this is the most awful, tragic thing for anyone to go through. But without support, like what has been your support? How have you managed to cope?
Have
Or
you found anything that gives you an outlet to focus on, or
yeah, go on, you say. So I write to Freya a lot. I write to her every day. Obviously I have my Instagram.
Yeah.
I paint and do a lot of crafts and arts and
I
stuff.
think I've just seen, it's just popped up on my Instagram that you're doing, is it like painting and you're going to donate, like I think it was candles and things like that, and you just
Candles,
set up a little business to sort of paint. What's the page called? Painting for Freya.
Painting for Freya.
Yeah, it looks
Oh, I'll just have
lovely.
a look
Yeah,
at that
it only just
actually.
came up today, actually, that I saw, so I was definitely going to talk to you about that.
So yeah, I just keep myself busy really. We got a dog, he helps. He
Ah,
gets me out of bed every morning. He's a beagle, so he's very much
you had the dog
energetic.
before you lost Freya.
No.
Oh, you've had the dog
So we
since.
got him, how long have we had him now? Probably had him for about 3 months.
Oh, that's lovely. And he'll
It
give you,
was,
like, say, it'll give you an excuse to get up out of bed, get you out in the fresh air, and give
And
you
dogs
that.
just have like this, they just know. They
They
do,
have the
they do.
sense, like, They know when you need a cuddle and when you need a little nudge to say, "Hey, come on, get
Come
up,
on,
get
take
out."
another walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And what's your dog called?
Oscar. Oh,
Oscar. Cute. I love it.
cute.
Yeah, we're both dog people, as you can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love dog.
Oh,
Well,
yeah.
you
I've
got
got
two
two. Yeah.
mad dogs.
Absolutely nuts, honestly. But yeah, they're a reason to get up. They've got to go out for a wee. They've got to go out for
For
a walk. You've
walk.
got to feed them. So that's good. But yeah, so it sounds like you've had to just make your own coping mechanisms and strategies, and you've just had to deal with it yourself. You've not had any support or any direction from any medical professionals.
Like I said, my midwife throughout Freya, she was a massive support. She still is, to be fair.
That's good.
So she was the one who basically got me to the doctors because I refused to do anything like that. And
Yeah.
she actually came to my first meeting with me, and we did all that together. And we met a couple at this meeting who lost their little boy quite recently from since Freya as well. And me and the mum talk every day now, so we've kind of helped each other through as well.
Found like your own support
Is that like,
system.
yeah, is that like
Yeah.
a movement group that you go to,
It was a
or
Stans group that we
yeah,
went
I
to.
go to Sam's. Yeah, you
Yeah.
still go to
Still
Sam's.
Sans.
Go.
Still
And I'm
do
actually
you?
be a
So
friend of myself.
I'm oh, I
I
didn't
no surprise. Yeah,
quite guilty of only going to
that's okay. Oh, sorry.
the
She's
one.
edging further out, and she... Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's each person's different.
Yeah.
So I only started going to Sands about 6 months after Luna, and that was down to my partner Richard, because I was just going down into a very bad place,
He knew
and
you needed
yeah, he
something,
knew.
didn't
Yeah, and the bereavement midwives, although I was lucky, I had two. Well, I nearly had three, and I told one to bugger off, but I had two, and they make all these promises. Yeah, we're gonna do this, we're gonna send you that, and they weren't coming. You tell me you're gonna do something, I'm gonna hold on to it,
Yeah.
and then they weren't coming through with what they were promising. So Richard ended up just ringing them, saying like, "Look, I've had enough. Like, Nicole keeps telling me you're gonna do X, Y, and Z, and you've done bugger all. Like, I can't get her off the sofa. She won't go out, and you need to help us." And that's when they said, "Oh, by the way, there's this Sam's group," and it was actually on that night in our local area. And he was like, "You go in whether you want to or not, because you need some way of." I'm a talker, he's not. So I needed someone to talk to share,
Yeah.
as awful as it is, to share an experience with, to share how I was feeling, because I've thought, "Oh, I shouldn't be feeling this," or "I'm feeling the strangest and worst things that you
Yeah,
wanted
you
to feel.
do.
I didn't feel
You do.
normal," whereas actually it's very normal,
Yeah.
and
It's having someone who
it's
can validate your feelings, isn't
yeah,
it?
and
Yeah.
yeah, what you're
Understand.
feeling, it isn't wrong, and everyone deals with it differently, but
And there's no right or wrong
there's
way.
no
It's
right or wrong.
learning. It's
Yeah.
learning that if you're feeling a certain way, that's not
Yeah.
wrong to feel that way. That's how you're feeling,
Yeah.
and you
So
have to
yeah,
acknowledge
so
those feelings.
after that first one, I have been pretty much every month since. And I got a lot from it. Obviously, I appreciate that maybe you didn't, or you found it difficult, because you do. We're all sitting there talking about our experience, our losses, and it is very triggering. But I found it also very
Therapeutic.
therapeutic and helpful, listening to other people and not being the only one, and made some good friends from that group.
Yeah.
And sounds like you did. So did you meet one lady that you've then just spoke to outside of the group and never
Yeah.
gone back?
She's not gone back either.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh, well, that's it then.
but
Yeah.
that's okay that you've found that one
You've
person
got
that you
something
can,
from it that you're
yeah.
now able to, you're helping each other.
And she'll
And that's
understand,
nice.
and she will
Yeah.
understand everything that you say to her. You'll understand what
Yeah.
she says to you, and it's having that person that you can go to and speak
Yeah.
to. And
Yeah.
we've just said on this previous episode that we've just recorded that in different circumstances, but how talking helps. It just helps, if
Yeah.
you've got something that you want to say, something that you need to share, it helps
It
to
helps just
talk.
to say it and
To
not
say it
sit mulling over it over and
and keep
over
get
and
the weight
over.
off your
Yeah.
shoulders basically to
Yeah.
share what you need to share.
Have you had some good support from your GP then? It sounds like your midwife did.
No.
No? Oh.
No. I went to the
Yatch.
GP the
That's
first
it.
day. The first
Yeah.
appointment that I got for the GP, I went in and I sat down, and the first thing he said to me was, "So how far were you?"
Okay.
And I was with my mum, and my mum was just like, she was 38 weeks. And then he said, "What happened?"
Oh my God,
And you'd
read
think he would
that.
have my notes in front of him
Yeah,
to
literally will be on his
start it.
screen in front of him. Yeah.
And my mum just said, "They don't know." And then, so I'd spoke to my midwife and I said, "Look, I don't know whether you've experienced this, but all I could think about was trying again
Yeah.
in that moment. And that was the reason I wouldn't go to the doctors, and that was the reason that I wouldn't try any medication to help me."
Okay.
So my midwife have told me, "Just make sure you say to him you want something that's safe when you're trying to conceive." Obviously, being a midwife, she knows that there's safe ones out there that you can take, and there is ones that people take throughout pregnancy and all sorts. And so we said this to him, and he just turned around and said, "Well, I can't give you one that's safe." So in my mind, then I'm going more insane, thinking, "Well, I'm not taking anything."
Yeah.
It's like you're then having to choose whether
Yeah,
you
between your mental health
health
and
and
what you need, want and need at this time.
yeah.
So have you, excuse me if this is very personal, have you gone on to any medication or did you
Yeah.
choose? You did.
Yeah.
And
So
how?
it took my mum ringing my midwife again and she's trying to talk me around into taking it. And
Yeah.
yeah, so my experience at the GP was not good, and I haven't been back since. I'm just on a repeat prescription now, so I don't have to speak to them.
Yeah. And so I'm on medication after the death of Luna, never been on any mental health
No,
medication.
me neither.
I don't know what you're on and don't know if you want to say what you're on, but I'm on sertraline and that is very safe in pregnancy.
Yeah, so I'm on citalopram,
Yeah, which is
which I
also
think,
safe.
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, why do people make this journey more
I
difficult?
don't know. I don't know. But so I just walked out then, and I was just convinced that was it. I'm not taking anything.
Yeah.
Because obviously, I was just in a doctor, what a doctor says, the doctor says is right, kind of more.
Well, yeah, they're the
Yeah.
professionals. You believe them,
Yeah.
don't you? Oh, sounds like he doesn't. He's just a knob. Can we say that? Say whatever. I think the things that we discuss on this podcast, a little bit of swearing here and Yeah,
there's
I
a
don't know.
do. I
Is that
swear
why?
all the time.
Do I normally swear?
I need to stop swearing.
Yeah.
I swear
Well,
all the
saying that, I
time.
do swear because my daughter swears at nursery now and she got told off.
Oh dear. F word.
No. Oh
Oops.
Oh
Yeah,
yeah.
see me and my, maybe I do have a potty mouth, but anyway.
In conversation, though, I feel like I
No.
swear a
Well,
lot.
if I do something, I'm like, oh shit, if I drop something.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, shit.
I use it to embellish
Yeah.
and
Or when
emphasize,
someone
usually.
annoys me like this,
Yeah.
bloody doctors and
Bloody knobhead.
bloody knobheads.
I had
So.
a question, Robin. It was more only again, it's probably because of the mindset I'm in at the moment when we were talking about work and
Yeah.
returning to work, and we've had similar experiences in terms of returning to
Yeah,
work
or not.
or not.
Just didn't go back.
Yeah. You obviously said to us before that you said you were going on maternity leave, so you were obviously in employment or were working before you went off. Where are you up to with that? Because obviously you're 6 months in, and the experiences are very similar in a sense where you struggled with the fact that work could allow you to take maternity,
Yeah,
but you
yeah.
struggled with that idea
Yeah,
because obviously you
because I
didn't
didn't have
bring
a
Luna
baby.
home.
Yeah.
So where are you up to in terms of working, time
Maternity.
off, wanting to go back to work or not?
Very much struggling with that part. I do get what you mean with the whole being on maternity. It's very much at the beginning, it was like, I'm on maternity leave without a baby. How does that make sense?
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
it
fine.
does
You were in
not.
that mindset
Yeah,
straight
it
away.
does not make sense. But then it came to the thought of going back to work,
Yeah.
and that's quite scary, I
Yeah.
think, personally. I'd been in once just to see everyone, and I lasted about 10 minutes. It was too much.
Yeah.
What type of, if you don't mind sharing, what type of work do you
It's
do?
office work.
Right.
So,
Do a lot.
working office, it's quite a small office. It's a small family-run business. So, they are very, very understanding and accommodating. I can't fault them whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I do know that when I do go back, it'll all be on my terms and they'll do whatever I'm comfortable with, but it's still very daunting.
Yeah.
I think for me as well, it's going back and going to that environment and that desk and that space where I was pregnant with Freya, and she
Yeah.
was with me that whole time, and when I left, she was gone, kind of thing. And it's very, yeah, it's that kind of emotional side for me.
Yeah. Did you choose to take, are you on maternity leave then? Did you choose
Yeah,
to?
so I would be due back at the end of March.
Yeah. Okay. So you've still got a good chunk of, well, no, 3 months isn't a good chunk. I'm lying. I'm thinking October.
It's only
It
because
feels
that's last time we recorded.
like a long time though, doesn't it? But it's actually not. Like these 6 months I've
Yeah, that
thought.
would be like a 9 month maternity leave then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. How are you feeling about that coming up? Do you think you will be ready by then, or do you think you're gonna need some extra time and support?
So I'm going to use my keeping in touch days after Christmas in the
Yeah.
new year. So I get
Just to
10 of them.
sort of
So quite, yeah, just to
experience
sort of
what it would
like
be like to go
ease
back
yourself
and
back in, go
yeah.
back in and ease myself in slowly. And
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be able to go back full time straight away. I think it will be very much a process of
Gradual, yeah.
easing myself in and gradually doing so. Yeah, it's
That's good that you've got
one of
support.
them, I think.
Yes.
Sorry.
Good that you've got a supportive team by the
Yeah,
sound.
definitely.
Like you
Definitely.
say, only a smaller team than some big companies have, so yeah.
And that'll be easier for them to that rather than a large corporation, because they've got,
Yeah.
it's like, well, you work for the NHS. The
Yeah.
NHS has got certain rules and guidelines, and unfortunately they can't necessarily tailor it to
No.
individual people, but a smaller company, they've got,
They've got the time, haven't they, that,
it's their discretion to be able to
yeah.
give you what you need if they can give you what you need,
Yeah.
and which is good to know that you've got that support.
I don't know if you know, Robin, that there is, I think it's through SANS. Maybe I might be lying to you, but I think it is through SANS that they do free training to workplaces to help your colleagues
All right.
knowing what to, what to say and what not to say.
Educating. I didn't
Education.
know that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's SANS. So one of the friends that I've met at SANS told me about it because she's in an office based, and they went into her work prior to her return to have training on baby loss and how to support your colleague returning to work.
Oh, wow.
So I'll have a look and then I'll send it you, just whether
Yeah,
that might
I do. Thank you. I didn't know that was they did
Yeah,
that.
no,
That's really
it is.
good.
Yeah, because I think like there is. I always found after we lost Luna, I don't know if you had similar, but people don't know what to say,
Yeah,
so
no.
people say nothing, but that makes it worse
That
because then
meant
you're
I'm,
like,
yeah.
oh, like I want to talk about my daughter. She's still my
Yeah.
daughter. She was still born. Freya's still
Yeah.
part of my family, so talk about her. But they just go, because they don't know what to say,
And it's the
and
fear of
it's
saying the
the
wrong
wrong
thing,
thing.
which
Yeah.
I think we've said we totally understand
Yeah.
that, you
Yeah.
go through something traumatic or you go through a loss, and people, I think some
People,
people don't, like say, they don't want to say the wrong thing. They don't want to upset you more, so they don't
yeah.
say anything. And then you think, well, I don't know what's worse, saying nothing or saying the wrong
Yeah,
thing.
but
And
they don't acknowledge what you want and need, and
yes,
I
it's
don't think
how
they
they're
do.
feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, they're
It's how
thinking
that'll
for
make,
themselves.
yeah.
We've said it from the beginning that we know that nothing nobody says is going to make us feel better.
Yeah.
Nothing that anybody says is going to take this away or take the pain away whatsoever.
Yeah.
So we would much rather you try to say something rather than just
You said
ignore
the same
us and
thing.
not
Yeah.
say anything, because I don't know whether you were the same, but sometimes you feel like a different generation of people, that people are scared to touch.
Yeah,
And
definitely.
they're scared that if they touch you, you're going to go off like a bomb or something, and
Yeah.
they won't
Or
come anywhere near you. And I think that's worse.
yeah, like I always struggled so with other people that were pregnant when after we lost Luna. Like they don't want to see you because it's like you might catch baby death, and I'm like, yeah, no, it's not a
Yeah.
disease. Like it's just like I'm not gonna pass that on to your pregnancy, and yeah, the avoidance and the not saying anything's worse
I think
than
it's,
saying the wrong thing. Because like you say,
yeah.
you're not gonna make me feel any worse. Like we've just
Yeah.
lost our daughter. Like it's the worst thing anybody can ever go through. So
Yeah.
you saying "Are you okay?" isn't gonna break, you know, it might make me upset, but it's not gonna break me.
Yeah.
It's, I think, the acknowledgement. You need to acknowledge the bereavement, the parents' feelings, and how they want to deal with it, because they're just thinking of themselves,
And
and
it's like
it's
if you've got a
selfish.
pregnant friend, I think they're worried that they're going to be a reminder and that you're going to feel sad. So it's like, if I'm pregnant and I see my friend who's lost their baby, I'm going to make them feel sad, which makes me feel bad. So it, like you say, it's not intentionally selfish, but
They're
that's how
thinking,
it comes, yeah,
people just think of themselves,
and how it makes them
definitely.
feel, and if it's awkward.
No, but I'll definitely have a look and send it you
Yeah,
later.
thank you.
It might be
I'll
something
have a look at that.
helpful, and it would make that transition into work maybe a little bit smoother and easier for
That's
you.
a really good resource, and I didn't
Yeah,
know
no, it
that.
is. Yeah, I'll have to
'Cause,
post it on the page.
yeah, I'll leave that to you because you're a
No.
bit more educated in the department. But no, I think that's a really valuable resource if, they do that and they can do that, because it is so difficult, like you say. I think, like any sort of loss, like I think everybody feels that they don't know what to say, but in the most tragic of losses, when you lose a child or lose a baby, people, the natural instinct is to try and make you feel better. But like you said, there's nothing that people
Nothing.
can say. So it's learning what you can say just to be there and be a support. And I think we should definitely post that
I'll
on the
post it.
page.
Well, I'll have a look in a bit and find it.
How is your partner doing? Is he coped in a little bit of a different way, or have you been quite united in sort of your coping mechanisms? Is there anything he's doing as sort of the dad? Because we always look at it from a female perspective. We're the one that you carry your baby, you deliver your baby, and a lot of people, don't see
About
the
that.
emotional effect that it has on your partner. Like I know that my husband really struggled during that time because he was looking after me and worrying about our baby as well. And I think every partner has that because, you're worrying about how your partner's coping. So, but how's he dealt with it? Has he been more of a silent type? Is he quite
I think
open?
he very much went into survival mode from the beginning, but when I look back now, it was definitely for me. When I look back, he was basically my carer for a couple of months, because I couldn't function, I couldn't do anything. So he was very much, right, I have to be strong for her. He still very much struggles now, because I think he's in that mindset that if he's upset, and if he brings something up, it trigger me and upset me. So we are struggling a little bit with the fact that I want him to talk to me now. I'm a little bit stronger. I can be there for him when he needs me to. He gets a lot of release from football. He goes
Well,
to a dad's football team now, which is really nice.
oh, that's
They set up a bereaved dad's football team at our local football ground, and so he goes there every Friday. And the mum that I speak to has got quite close with the dad, so he tends to speak to them a lot more than me, because I think he
nice.
thinks it would upset me. But we have had a few disagreements where I'm like, "No, I need you to talk to me now." And whereas I'm very much open about talking about Freya, I could do it all day. She's my favorite person to talk about. He struggles. He very much struggles, and not that he doesn't want to, it's just too hard for him at the moment.
And I think I don't speak for all men, but I know that my husband doesn't like talking about what happened to us. And I think Richard's very much like that I think it is the default. It doesn't happen to every couple, and every couple is different, but I find that the men are more, like, say, the silent type, the internalize. And, I think it's great that your partner has that outlet for football, which is, I found sport's one of my outlets. And it's a time where I can just go and I can concentrate on the sport and I don't think about anything and literally everything behind. And it is a wonderful outlet. So I think that's definitely something to be encouraged for him to continue, especially if he's doing it with people that also understand the position he's in. But I think it's good now that you've communicated with him that, you can talk to me. Even if it's an upsetting conversation, the fact that we can talk about Freya and what we went through and, how we look to the future, it'd be good for him to continue to open up to you. Yeah, because like say you still have, you still have conversations that you're like waiting to have with your partner and
I
they
think
will come in
it is
time.
very much like you say that he doesn't want to talk to you because he doesn't want to upset you, and vice versa. You know that if you talk to him about Freya, you're probably going to upset him. But sometimes I think that's what you need, because everybody needs an outlet and everybody needs to just get it all off your chest. And that's his daughter just as much as it was your daughter. And he deserves to talk and remember about Freya in whatever way he chooses. And he will in his own way. But then I think it's also important for a couple to survive, having a baby that is alive is one of the hardest things. So for a couple to
Make or break,
survive
usually, yeah.
going through the tragic of losing your baby, it's bloody hard work.
Yeah, it
And
is. It really is.
it takes a massive toll on any relationship. And like it sounds like you've been together for a very long time. Freya was a very much wanted and loved baby, and she always will be. And I think that's what you've got to remember, is you two were there first, and you've got to continue that for her sake as well. And for any if you ever did decide to, try and have another baby. Is that something that you've ever spoken to him about yet? Or are you I know
Yeah,
before
we.
said, yeah, I want another baby, and that's what I'm focusing on. But is that something that you continue with? Is that how you still feel, the both of you, or?
Yeah, we're both very much wanting that. We are currently trying, so it's that's a whole new journey. Very difficult one, but
Of course, of
course.
I just hope that you will find the right support from medical professions. Again, I don't know if I don't do I know what area Robin's from? What area are you? Are you near us? Are you
No, I
nearby?
don't know where you're based.
Darwin.
We're in
Where?
Darwin.
Oh, where's that?
Blackburn.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's not
Blackburn.
too
Oh, that's
far
not too far from us.
then. Okay.
We're down in
I'm not
Cheshire.
very good at geography, as you can tell. Blackburn.
Blackburn's north, it's
We're
Lancashire.
about half an hour away from Manchester.
Yeah, well, we're about half an hour away from Manchester, but in the other direction.
The other
Yeah, the
way.
other way, south,
So
yeah.
Manchester is one of the hospitals that we were at with Luna, and that hospital in particular, I don't know if your local hospital has it, but that hospital has something called a rainbow clinic.
Yeah, ours
Luna.
has that.
Do you have that? Have you been in contact with them? Okay, good. I was gonna say,
Good. Yeah, we've literally just
passing on all
discussed.
my stuff to you,
I've
because
just
that apparently
discussed
I've
that.
not been in contact with it myself, but just on the episode before this one, I was just talking about
You were
my
explaining it to me, weren't
my
you?
most recent debrief and what the future holds going forward if we ever wanted another pregnancy. And that was one of the things that was brought up, is that a rainbow clinic is very supportive of parents wanting to try again. And I think they can provide a lot of support and resources to help you cope, because being pregnant is stressful anyway, but being pregnant
Yeah.
after a
After a
loss,
loss.
it like, oh God, my
You do.
anxiety would be through the
Yeah.
roof.
Yeah.
Like,
It's one of
absolutely.
them. It's, I always say I want it more than anything right now, but I'm so scared of it at the same time.
Absolutely. So that's good that you have one, or you've been in contact with a clinic.
I know it so it doesn't compare. It doesn't compare at all, but I know that the feeling is similar. It's like when I got pregnant, so my daughter wasn't my first pregnancy. I lost my first pregnancy, but it was very, very early. I had an early miscarriage, and I remember that it didn't even this feeling didn't even fade until I was like 6, 7 months pregnant, where every time I went to the
The toilet,
bathroom, I was just expecting to see blood every single time. And so I think, like you say, whatever loss it is, after loss, I think it's hard to
heightened
find,
anxiety, isn't
yeah,
it?
that anxiety and that stress, and it's finding that support and that reassurance that sort of gets you through it, most definitely. So in your journey, Robin, you've got you're awaiting the results now. from your cord and your placenta, and you said that's before Christmas, is it?
It's just after.
Just after Christmas, right?
Yeah.
And then after that, have you got anything else that I know when you went through your journey with Luna, and obviously it's still ongoing, you couldn't see past the investigation
Yeah,
into Luna's
no.
death. And once that was over, you could start to close that particular
Yeah.
chapter. And have you got anything other than the results that you're waiting on for you to sort of start that journey of, moving forward and looking forward?
Don't know, really. I think I'm just trying to get through that and
And see what the
yeah, New Year scares me quite a lot. I don't know whether you were the same in the year that you lost Luna, but I feel like
didn't want to go
going
into
in.
yeah, you
No.
don't want to go into a new year because
No.
it's not the year that I had and lost her.
I feel like the year being in Freya's year is the only one of the only things I have left.
Yeah.
And then when you go into another one, I feel like it's harder to say my baby died last year.
Last year, yeah.
And I feel like I'm leaving her behind.
No, absolutely not, because she's always in here and she's always in here.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, I always found that the thought of these upcoming events, because you're very much still in the very early stages, so you've got your first Christmas, your first New Year, your first everything. And I think the firsts continue forever because there's always going to be the first that she should have gone to school and the first that she should be having prom or whatever those may be. I find the anticipation of those first
The lead
events
up's worse than the
is
actual
worse than
days.
the actual day.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really struggled with the coming up to what should have been her due date and what should have been her first birthday. But
Yeah.
the day is actually there. It's not as bad as I felt the week before. If does that make
Yeah,
sense?
no, it does. A lot of mums have
Build
said that.
ourselves up so much
Yeah.
it's
So
going to be
bad.
so horrific,
Yeah.
and it will be though. But people have different ways of coping, and you just do what you think's best, and your partner thinks best. But yeah, I always found that the lead up to these events, probably because of how our mind works, it makes it worse.
Yeah.
But I just think, just do whatever you and your partner feels right for you. Don't think about anybody else because only you and him know what you're going through and how you truly feel. And yeah, you just be selfish. Don't think about anyone else. Just think of you two, and you celebrate or don't celebrate in whatever way is right.
I
Yeah.
think Christmas is just it's just a Wednesday for us this year.
Another day. Yeah, it's
We've
just.
booked a little cabin in the middle of nowhere from
Oh.
Christmas Eve till Boxing Day, just us two and the dog. So we're just escaping.
Yeah,
That'd be nice.
absolutely. And that'll be nice for a bit of you time as well.
Yeah.
Just
Yeah.
to just escape
Remove yourself
everything.
as well
Yeah.
from like your house and
Yeah.
just to get
Just
away.
reality.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's a shit time. Yeah, it is. It's no point sugarcoating it. It's
No,
going
it is. It's shit.
to
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
It is.
is. Yeah.
Yeah. And anyone pretends that it isn't,
Yeah,
shit
yeah,
themselves.
yeah,
Sorry.
yeah, yeah. Oh no,
Excuse
that's
my
a really
language.
nice way, of dealing with your first Christmas.
Yeah.
It's definitely.
And putting
Oh,
yourselves first,
yeah,
by the sounds of it.
you definitely have to, even if you do have a big extended fa friends and family circle. Like their Christmas and their New Year will just carry on as normal. Whereas yours won't. So, and as much as they say that, oh, I'm thinking of you, yeah, they're just getting on with it. Whereas you two won't be. So,
Yeah.
yeah, oh, that's really nice. I'm glad to hear that you're having some time.
Yeah.
Definitely, it'll be good. Good in its own little way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, have you got
Well,
any other questions, or is there anything else you would like to say, or?
no, I don't think so.
Feel like I was going to ask you one more. Oh, I know what it was, just because
Oh.
I thought about it then. So when you mentioned before that you started doing your painting and like crafty things and keeping yourself occupied, Have you always done that prior to losing Freya, or is that a new thing that you've picked up?
No, so I was quite arty in school, but
Yeah.
didn't really carry it on afterwards. And then when Freya died, I started painting little rocks
Yeah.
and we started leaving them in places. And then
Hmm.
everyone was like, you know what, Robin, you're actually quite good.
Oh,
I was like, oh.
yeah. Oh, so the reason why I was asking is because, right, I'm
My
gonna give
God,
you.
you're not arty, are you?
No,
I thought you were gonna.
how
Sorry,
rude.
I can say that. I've known her long
Yeah,
enough.
I'm quite creative. Like, because I
Creative,
did
just not
bake, so I
arty.
did a lot of baking. I always used to do a lot of baking, and then after I lost Luna and I was on maternity
God, that is
sickness,
so
like,
rude.
so rude. Just the fact she's
Sorry.
one of my best friends, just bounced around the air. I found baking really therapeutic and really helpful during the time after we lost Luna. And it was only the other night that me and Richard, my partner, were sat down talking, and he was chatting on that he listens to podcasts a lot. And there was a podcast talking about anxiety. So we've both suffered with anxiety and depression since we lost Luna. Never have before. Very outgoing people prior to this. Now, like, I just like my own four walls and Jodie, and that's about it. So he was saying that this podcast, I can't remember the name, so I can't promote whoever it was, but they were talking about anxiety and how creativity and anxiety can't work together. So your brain can't
I see where
be,
you're going with this now.
yeah. I like to know, I'm quite good at saying these things tonight. You can't be anxious and be creative at the same time. So this is why they a lot of people find a creative way to cope after they've been through something traumatic, to help them deal with anxiety. So I found that very interesting that you said that your creativity of drawing, painting has been really helpful, and that's because your brain cannot physically do the both at the same time. So yeah, so keep it up, basically. Again,
That's
whether it's
interesting.
a known way to you or not, it sounds like this is another coping mechanism come across yourself, that is working. So and apparently there is actually meaning and reasoning behind it.
Oh,
The little
well.
brain works quite cleverly sometimes.
Well, I said you're not arty. I meant you just can't draw for shit. You can make beautiful cakes. You can paint in
Yeah,
buttercream.
might be a beautiful buttercream picture. That's about it.
Yeah, she does the best cakes ever.
Yeah,
A creative in baking.
yeah. See, that's something that we actually said, like you make all these New Year resolutions and
Solutions.
plans and all that crap that you never stick to. But he said, oh, maybe we should do, like, I know, like, most areas have some form of, like, art class, like, whether it be painting, pottery,
Pottery, something
yeah,
like that, yeah.
something. And Richard, he is not one to be like going to groups and
I've
being
now
like,
got this image
imagine
of you
me and
and
Richard
Richard
doing
like
like
on
nude
the ghost.
paintings.
I've got these like ghost pottery
Yeah,
with
no. So
what?
he said, oh, maybe that's something that we, because we've
Do
said, like, for the
together.
new year that we want to, lose weight, become healthier, try and get our mental health in a better place than it's been in the last year. And he said, maybe after listening to that podcast, that's what we need to do. We need to be
Wow.
more creative and go to a weekly, monthly
Sure,
class
this is
or
not like a
something.
hypnosis and he's been hypnotized by this
Right.
podcast.
Yeah. Because he's not creative whatsoever. So.
No, but it's the fact that he's open to doing that, which
Yeah.
that's in this in self the most shocking thing.
Yeah.
Not that it's a creative thing, it's
No.
just that he's willing to actually
Willing to do
go
something
in
different. And if it
do
helps
some
you.
pottery wheeling. I don't
Yeah.
know.
So. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for talking to us, Robin, and for
Yeah, thank
sharing
you for having me.
Freya's story. Yeah, obviously we'll keep in
In touch,
contact
yeah.
on over our social media, and I'll fire you some messages with things that we've talked about tonight.
Yeah, and if
Anything?
you want to reach out at any point, we're always here. And
Yeah.
likewise, if you get the results and you
You want
want
to
to
share it?
share them
Yeah,
or you want to
definitely.
speak to, and I'm not talking about on a public forum like this podcast, if you want
Yeah.
to speak to us, we're always here and we love, even if it's for the most horrific reasons, we love connecting with other women and other couples that, need that extra support, because
Yeah.
this is why we've
Yeah.
started it, because we've definitely needed the
We needed it,
support.
yeah.
We've wanted to sit and talk, and if we can help just one family or one person, you know, feel a little bit better or feel like they're less alone. This is why we're here. So thank you so much for sitting down, telling your stories, telling us about Freya. And we really hope that you and your partner, you know, get through this festive period as best you can
Yeah,
and into the
100%.
new year and that appointment. You
Yeah.
get out of it
Get what
what
you
you need
need.
from it.
Yeah, definitely.
Whatever news that may be, we hope that you get what you need and the answers that you need. So thank you so much, and
No, thank you.
we will definitely keep in touch. So
Yeah, definitely.
this will go live when I have chance to edit it. So I will let you know before it
No
goes.
problem.
Yeah.
No problem.
Well, thank
Thank
you.
Thank
You take
you. You too. Bye.